Podcasting 2.0 for March 10th, 2023, episode 125. We got Wolf Nuts. Well, hello, SAP streamers. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, your weekly board meeting of everything happening in podcasting. Of course, the 2.0 means we've upgraded that and fully backwards compatible. And we're also fully immune from Silicon Valley bank contagion. That's right. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, the bud for your bowl. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
My umbrel's fine. There's no bank runs on it.
My wallet's good. Yeah.
5x5.
Ooh, you did it. I had the air horn stand by just in case. See if you're going to mess it up there. Yeah.
In the pipe, everything's looking good on my side. We have full liquidity for all deposits.
We do. Everything, mm-hmm. everything, business as usual.
Yes, nothing to see here. Nothing
has gone down. Nothing has stopped. We continue to operate. You know why? Because we have no creepy corporate money. We have no advertising. We exist solely by your grace in supporting Podcasting 2.0, the podcast and the project. And we're lit. We're lit, everybody. Streaming live.
We had conference call before the show, like we like we do often, and it was rather subdued and very like low energy. I feel like the energy was sapped out of me.
It was super. I think we can talk about it. It was nothing secret about it. It was, on one hand, it was kind of nice. Now that I think about it. It was kind of weird because I had asked for this conference call about 5 months ago. Maybe December, something like that. It was a follow up with the Pocket Cast folks.
And, just to check in and see what's going on.
Yeah, and they had Matt Mullenweg on, which is nice. But since they reached out after such a long time, they're like, let's do a call. And then they were all kind of waiting for us to say stuff, and we were waiting for them to say stuff. I'm like, well, let me tell you what we're doing then. But is it even known that they're working on implementing the namespace? Was that public knowledge? Did I just miss that?
I don't know. It was kind of surprising to me too. There was a lot of stuff that didn't seem to
that we didn't know about.
yeah.
They know a lot about stuff that we don't know about, which is like, oh, that's interesting. Also, the I think the young lady who's in, I guess she's in charge of Pocket Cast. Is she the project director?
Sounded like it.
Yeah, I think she is. She's in Vegas, so she was at the Vegas podcast show. So maybe mm-hmm. she was talking. We know she was talking to a lot of people there.
It sounded like she met up with Sam and the guys from Albi and Conshacks and all that.
Yeah. They're kind of pumped about Value for Value. I'm not sure how pumped mm-hmm. they are about it, but they definitely like it. But they're doing chapter support. This is cool stuff. I love hearing this. This is a big app. This is a big app to join all of this stuff. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, she said they're a part of that podcast standards group that we don't know.
We have no idea who's running it.
But, no idea.
She's like, we're really excited about joining the podcast standards group. Really? Okay. Who exactly?
I was taking a little off my feet because I'm like, it sounds like you know more about it than I do, which, honestly, is kind of exactly where I want it to be.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. If there's a group that's being started, which I would presume is kind of a follow-on from a previous meeting where hosting companies came together, that they're doing something so they can all be on the same page. That we love mm-hmm. that. I love us running with scissors and being crazy, which is exactly what we told them. That's great. Whatever the hosting companies want to do is fantastic. We want to run with scissors. We don't want any constraints. We want to be able to poke our eye out.
Yeah, we want to. They get to look at all the stuff that we've done and decide which parts are insane and which parts are actually usable for a business.
Yeah. Well, I think they're almost all usable for a business. If you ask me,
I think so too.
I don't know. Maybe it's just cartel forming. I don't know. Maybe there's
a cartel.
We can sue them for RICO.
Who's the czar? Yeah. Todd's the czar.
And we talked to him about Cross App Commons and Activity Pub. And I guess they are doing stuff with Activity Pub now. With the WordPress plugin.
I think he said that,
they acquired it.
Plugin or something. Yeah, which I know some of our folks have used. It sounds like they're moving in a lot of, it was nice to have the meeting, because then it's like we got to realize what all they were doing that we had no idea about.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of like halfway through the meeting, I'm like, well, y'all are doing all this stuff. You don't need us. Why are we here?
Well, that's the beautiful thing. No one really does need us. But I like that Matt paid enough attention to it that he dialed into the meeting. That was cool. And, you know, he laughed at our jokes. That. It's always nice. Always good. Always make you feel special. Yeah. I was actually talking about Silicon Valley Bank beforehand, because if you haven't heard the news, Silicon Valley Bank basically was closed down by regulators today, which now, I smelled something yesterday, I think, or the day before even. And so I don't typically watch CNBC that much, certainly not in the morning. Like, you know, I'm going to check and see what's going on. And this morning around 8:45, it's like, yeah, you know, stuff's happening. And then like at 12 o'clock or 11:30, it's been closed by regulators. That went very, very fast, which means...
Wait. You said it got closed. The last I heard.
No, it's closed. They shut it down. It's defunct. It's now a dead bank.
Oh, it's because the last article I read on it was
last night.
Maybe this morning or this. Night it said, and it said the CEO was like, everybody stay calm. Everything's fine.
Assets are safe. No worries. Where have we heard that before?
And then they shut it down.
Yeah. The regulators shut it down this morning, which means it'll remain closed. It won't come back. It's a dead bank now. And the reason why that happened is they overnight, they were like, hey, we're trying to raise $2 billion. Anyone interested? And everyone went, no, we're taking our money out. Because you have to understand Silicon Valley Bank. I had an account there. When we took when we raised money for Podshow/Mevio, the way it works is, you know, you raise money and of course you give away a percentage of the company for equity for the money that you raise. And then they immediately introduce you to Silicon Valley Bank. And that's where you're expected to put the money you just raised, which really means it's going from one account in Silicon Valley Bank to another account, because all the big venture capital guys have accounts there. They're general partners, they're limited partners, so many of them personally. Now, the smart ones would never do that, but many of them still have personal bank accounts there. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is that you raise your money, which is always expensive because you're giving away equity in the company, and then you can do debt financing based upon that raise that you have with a favored nation status. So we raise money from Sequoia Capital, from Kleiner Perkins, from Ram Shriram. I mean, these are all top-notch investors. And so then you can immediately go and get, you know, $10 million in debt financing. Because of that relationship, many companies also run their payroll through Silicon Valley Bank. So what has happened now is... Now, this is the weird thing. They closed it with $200 billion in assets and apparently only like $150 billion in liabilities. So the question now is, what is that asset number based on? Is it FTX? they have been involved with a lot of shit coins. And I think now it's coming to roost. So this bank has basically failed. That has not happened since Lehman Brothers in 2008. This is a much bigger deal. And I think you're also going to see, all these little companies, they all have their money there. They were desperately trying to get it out yesterday. Some of them got money out, but most of them didn't. So all they'll have left is $250,000, which is insured by the FDIC for each account that you have. So this could put companies out of business. Everyone has payroll coming up in 5 days. That could screw up payroll, that people literally are not getting paid because the money was supposed to be sent from Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, it could be a very, very, very big problem. And of course, now we're going to find out, you know, as we talk about contagion, how many banks or instrument or derivatives were connected to the business that Silicon Valley Bank was doing. And that could involve much bigger banks.
This had to, they had to be the bank for FTX. They had to.
They were. No, they were. That's what tripwired it, because the first one that went down is Silvergate. And these are official banks, you know, banks that were dealing mainly in crypto. Most definitely, Silicon Valley Bank was kind of the darling of all these bigger crypto plays. And so they were running the money through that. And when FTX closed, I think their exposure was over $1 billion right off the bat. And then, then they have bonds, and then their bonds become less desirable. So they were selling their bonds at a loss. And then it just became a run on the bank. Peter Thiel last night called up all of his companies that he's invested in and said, take your money out immediately. That's a bank run. That's the definition of a bank run.
That was a Binance move is what that was against Silicon Valley Bank. But the first guy to get out wins.
Always.
Because you get all your money. And after that, you just don't even care. This is going to get worse because I keep bringing up this book, Secrets of the Temple.
That you've been reading, which is the chick repellent.
Yes. It's the literary equivalent of garlic and a cross is what it is. So it's very, very good. And, I love books like this because it was written in like 1991. Historical perspective from that's completely unpolluted by any modern politics or anything. Like there's nobody left who has a vested interest in covering things up, really, that they're kind of is over. And so, it's called Secrets of the Temple by William Grider. And one of the things, the pictures he paints of the inflationary period that is really a mirror of what we're going through now, that he talks about how the Fed, they kept raising rates and they couldn't stop it.
Right.
They got all the way, they took the governor off. And they said, okay, we're not going to moderate interest rates. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on bank reserves. So essentially they were trying to regulate the money supply directly. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, we deregulated maximum interest rate levels because there used to be a maximum interest rate you could charge. And once that level was hit, banks just stopped lending altogether. They said, okay, we're going to take that off, and instead we're just going to focus on regulating only bank reserves and let the interest rate respond however it wants to in a natural way. That's how you ended up with 20% interest rates. But the banks, it wasn't that the Fed directly raised the interest rates to 20%. It's that they got there when they took the governor off.
Right. The problem and the difference now is the speed at which they raise the rates. It's been like 8 rate raises in this past, in the past 9 months or something, which is incredibly fast. Everyone said it has to stop at 5%. Now, this is the Federal Reserve raising the interest rate, not the banks. And they went over that. They just went over that. And that is going to hurt every single bank, no matter what. What I'm suspicious of is, and I'm really not a banker, but what happens when you raise like that is the banks just aren't capitalized enough for the bonds that they hold. And from what I understand, typically these banks have to have 10% reserve and they go through these so-called stress tests. But I think during COVID, they didn't have to have any reserve. It could be zero. And I'm not sure that they ever removed that, endless limitation.
So there's a difference there, though. So the small banks are not under those onerous reserve requirements, but the big systemic banks, there's a list of them that are under the so-called, too big to fail. They're quote unquote systemic banks, and those do have requirements.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're well capitalized by the Fed directly. Really, I mean through the markets, but they're
Yeah, but only if the money markets if they're functioning, and they've been pretty much in irons. You know, they've been trying to sell treasuries. Mm-hmm. It's been very hard to sell treasuries.
What happened in that inflation?
By the way, I hate it when you know so much about this stuff. It's really annoying. So stop reading that book.
Well, what happened then? You know, interest rates kept going up, and they could not make the banks stop lending because it got in. Interest rates were still, mortgages were still being taken out at 17, 18, 19, 20%.
Right.
They felt powerless to make it stop. And what happened was it was a psychological human behavior issue because when inflation really settles into the public consciousness, you feel like you have to go buy because you got to get it before the rate goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And you want real goods. You want hard assets in order to protect yourself from the devaluation of your cash.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere else to put it. And so that it was bad enough back then, but then now it's even worse, I think, because you have
credit card debt, auto loan debt. I mean, people are in debt. People live by debt.
Yep.
And
that's exactly right.
So the problem here is ultimately, you know, the government bails these accounts out, the FDIC. You know, someone sent me this. There was it was the FDIC meeting, and I think it was the January meeting. And now I'm going back trying to find this clip from the original source because I never trust any of these clips to just show up. And these guys literally in that meeting are talking about a bail-in, which means when the bank fails, they take your money that they're holding to fix it. And the overall concept here is that what could happen, and this is out there, is that if it's systemic, if some of these banks start to fail and the government really doesn't have the money, they'd have to print more, which we can't do at this moment at all because, you know, we have not agreed to raise the debt ceiling. So the timing could not be more perfect that you could wake up in the morning and you'd say, let's say you have $1,000 in your account. You'd have $1,000, but it would be, you know, Fedi coin or something. Yeah. That's really a possibility. That could really happen.
That reminds me of Lebanon.
Yes. I mean, like, yes.
That sounds Lebanese to me.
Well, the difference is Lebanon, they just close the banks. All right, your money's
get it.
Or like Turkey, same thing. You know, the lira has devalued by 90%. But what they could do here is they could say, well, it's still a dollar. It's just now it's a digital dollar. It's the Fedi coin, which would function the same way. I mean, I'm not sure about the value on the international market, but the problem is the control over it. You know, they would have complete control over your money.
What's the Netherlands? What's that word in Dutch? The conspiracy theory, wolf nuts or something like that?
Wolf nuts?
What's the
a show title, wolf nuts. I don't know what.
I said wolf nuts. I think.
There's
some Dutch term that means like some crazy conspiracy theorist. So somebody called you one.
Vuppie.
Vuppie.
A Vuppie.
It's not Wuff Nuts. Yes. No. Buffy. Vuppie.
Vuppie. Vuppie.
Okay. Yeah. That's the Fedi coin. That's the Vuppie coin.
Well, I'm all in on that. You know, I would like to see something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to go poor, and I don't think we will, but something's got to happen.
What's impressive to me, honestly, is that, and I tend to think about this when these things happen. We've had a series of these now, these sort of big crypto market failure.
Oh yeah, big ones.
Things and what's kind of impressive to me is that yes, Bitcoin takes a hit, but if you think about it, it's not nearly as bad as you think it would be. Like Bitcoin, it just tends to have a dent and comes right back.
Yeah, sure.
Like it's very resilient to whatever this is that's going on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels, and sometimes, especially I read yesterday, was that the new Biden budget proposal, which there's some crazy hell. Well, no, there's some crazy crap in there. But one of them was like a 30% tax on Bitcoin miners. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen it. Read the whole budget yet. I just saw the top
doubling
line
of long term capital gains tax.
Yeah, to 40%. Sure, that sounds fair. Yeah, but no one who makes under $400,000 will pay a penny more in tax, which of course is a lie because the hidden tax is inflation.
Yeah.
And the inflation, I'd say, is maybe even 20% now. You know, 10% price inflation and 10% shrinkflation.
Yeah. The cans are getting smaller.
They really are. It's noticeable. I mean, I got this Dr. Pepper here, 7.5 fluid ounces. It's still like $18 for this one can. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I don't know what to do with it. We're all going to die.
I need to buy a whole bunch. I just finished my beef milkshake. I need to buy a whole bunch more pouches of that before it.
Before the shrinkflation sets in.
This is the mental contagion that happens.
But the best part, wait, did you hear about the Perth Mint in Australia?
Oh, no.
So they were doping their gold. So they sold like 100,000 tons of gold to the Shanghai Exchange, and they were putting a little bit extra silver in there. And so now they may have to they may have to compensate by taking that back to the tune of $8 billion.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. This is like pieces of eight type thing all over again.
Yeah,
like
cutting off, you know, or what they call it, souping. Back in the day, like way back in the day, you put your gold and your silver coins into a bag and you shake it. And then little filings would come off of it and you collect that.
Wow. Yeah. So the Perth Mint? That's one of the major mints in the world.
It's a huge scam. I think I have a clip of that, actually. Hold on a second.
I used to have some Kookaburras.
I knew you were a gold guy.
Yeah, I had some. I used to have three 1 ounce Kookaburras. Have you seen those?
I only had the Cougarans. I got the Cougarans. Got those.
I had some Cougarans. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to this,
Angus. It was an extraordinary story. Can you first of all tell me why did they dope the gold, as it's called?
Yeah. Good morning there. Well, look, in 2018, the Perth Mint was under quite a bit of financial pressure, and so they took a decision.
To cheat. Yeah, exactly.
To dilute or to dope their gold, and that basically means that they added tiny amounts of silver into the mix their gold bars. And this was it's not illegal, but it's a really high risk strategy because it leaves.
It's not illegal. I don't see how it's not illegal.
How can it not be illegal? What?
Here, I'll fast forward to the end of this report.
100 tons of gold to internal staff members had made some estimates. They made a estimate that up to 100 tons of gold that they had sent to the Shanghai Gold Exchange was potentially below the Shanghai Exchange's standards and may need to be recalled. Is $9 billion or $8.7 billion worth of gold.
Now, of course, that's Australian dollary dues, so I guess it's, what, $1.50 or something? It's not a lot of money.
It's like $1,000.
Oh, nice picture of your Kookaburra.
Yeah, it's a pretty coin, isn't it?
It's a very pretty coin.
Yeah, like that. I can't believe that they did that. What does that meeting look like, by the way? What's that board meeting say?
Hey, we're screwed. What can we do? Cheat! All right, end of board meeting. I don't know.
What if we put some stuff in the gold coins that's not gold?
That's a great idea,
Jim.
Yes, tungsten, for instance. somehow it made me feel really powerful, what we're doing. It's like, you know, not just the fact that we don't have that type of... Here's what I was thinking about yesterday. When it comes to the adaptation of Bitcoin, you have people actually sending off their Bitcoin to other people in a transactionary fashion. You know, it's called a value for value donation or whatever you want to call it. And so this is not a hodling situation. People are who receive it, like you and I, we receive from our podcast. I receive from No Agenda. Where do you get your Bitcoin from? Do you buy it?
I have a dollar cost average. But some every month.
But you have no income. No sats incoming because our stuff all goes to the index. You need another show. You need another show.
Another show.
You need to do a show with your wife or something so you get some of your own sats.
No, I get, you have me in like a 1% split, I think, for my helipad.
Oh, right. Okay. So whatever it is, we get sats, we send them right back out. And then, you know, some people use it and send it back to other podcasters. Other people take it and buy beer for conference goers. Okay, fine. Whatever. I prefer to keep that in the system. But what I realized is that across the board, the numerology is showing adoption of Bitcoin because no one says, thanks for your $5, thanks for your $275. We're all talking about 100,000 sats, 25,000 sats, 5150, 6969, 7777. That is an adoption of a currency. We're not thinking of it in fiat dollar level anymore. If we ever really were. At the beginning, I think people were like, "Well, that's nothing." But now, I think people are getting their own feel of, "Oh, 100,000. That's a big baller. You know, that's a substantial number." Whereas that number actually in dollars fluctuates. I think somehow. And other people may be better explaining it than me. This proves adoption as a currency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could say. Yeah, I think you're right because we. So I was building the charts.
You know? Yes, yes, yes. I led you right to it, didn't I?
You did. You did. you led me there, and it was good. I'm glad it was a fun project. It was like a nice little side gig. That I could do that was just fun because I've never done any chart stuff before.
It turned out really good, and I bought a domain name for you.
Oh, you did not?
I did. V4VStats.com.
Oh, nice.
Okay, it's running as we speak.
Okay.
V4VStats.com.
I will move the bucket, and I'll tell you where to point it. The charts initially when I built it. Right now, it's at stats.podcastindex.org/V4V. And
I have a question right off the bat.
Okay.
Looking at because I saw it yesterday. I'm looking at it today. It appears that when it hits midnight and updates the chart, it starts with whatever has come in for that day. So this goes up to March 10th, which is today, and it shows a number almost near zero. Maybe you need to compile it at 11:59:59?
I think I'm going to have to make it where it excludes today. So it starts from 24 hours ago and goes, So I just noticed that a while ago as well.
Because it looks like, oh shit, the Silicon Valley Bank contagion has hit. it's a very sad chart. I don't like it like this. I don't like it when every single one is on it like, oh, boom. But even though it was still, so by midnight, it doesn't tell me how many.
If you hover over the little dot.
Yeah, but right there at the end. Oh yeah, 180,081 at midnight.
Yeah,
that's sexy, man. That's sexy. I like that.
So what's pretty nice. I mean, I don't really know how to get an average. I could probably do an average where it would have sort of just like this little secondary line running back in the background. But most of the time, even on down days, it's still around a million sats.
Oh yeah.
But then you just have these spikes up to, three million sats on a regular basis per day.
That's release days. It's so obvious. You can see what day you want to release on. I mean, that's exactly what that is. So I'm sure that some of that's our show, Podcasting 2.0. I'm sure we spike the stats. I'm sure Rabbit Hole Recap, just look at the Fountain Top
Coda 10. Radio.
Yeah. All that stuff. So it becomes really wild. The thing I requested, which you already said it's in the table and that'll get done, is number of transactions. I think that's a pretty important number, just to see how many people are actually interacting, and you know, then man, I could give you a million other ideas. Boost versus streams, etc. This is combined, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Boost and streams combined. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, boost and streams. And so here's another idea. So I posted this, a link to this on Noster, because I'm forcing myself to live over there in Noster as well.
Yeah.
And immediately I got back a reply that said, let me see if I can pull it up. I got back a snarky reply.
Oh, what exactly did you post?
So I just posted a link to
the stats page,
the stats chart.
And you got a snarky reply?
Yeah. Yeah. So I posted a link to the stats chart and I got a reply that says, so Noster still being a baby already outperforms a more settled V for V podcasting quote industry unquote.
What asshole was that?
I don't know. Somebody named Tony. Anyways,
Tony.
He said, this
a dude
is,
named Tony.
Says,
okay.
He says, anyways, I'm sure Noster will help V for V podcasting reach next levels in no time.
Okay. No, we'll hang around for that.
Yeah. So, and he posted a link that shows over to zaplife.lol, which I think is the greatest domain name I've seen in a while. Zaplife.lol. And it says, over the past 7 days, 15,604,898 sats have been zapped.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying that, and then he shows a comparison chart from the V4V stats that shows 10,625,000 sats. So 5 million sats more have been zapped over the last week on Noster than have been sent to podcasters on V4V. And that's clearly an indication that Noster is better. So
I guess
Tony thinks that this is clear. Like he doesn't even have to really explain it.
Yeah.
So my thought was, okay, there needs to be a better apples to apples comparison.
Yes.
I don't care
about the comparison, but yes, in case we need it, yes, a better one. Okay.
Yes. So this is not a, whose stuff is bigger contest, because it's, to me, it's complete apples and oranges, but, and I don't care, but that did bring up a good, idea, mm-hmm. which is it would be nice to see a per listener, a sats per listener metric where you say, okay, how many here's this 10,625,629 sats over the last 7 days, how many listeners represent, how many listeners were sending sats? What is that? How many people are responsible for that much sattage?
Right. Sattage.
And so then if you were going to compare that to something like Noster or some other metric, you could say, okay, here's your average podcast listener and here's how much they send to a creator. And then here's your average, Nostrich mm-hmm. and how much they send to in zaps. And my gut instinct is that a podcast listener sends way more.
Oh yeah,
than your average Noster dude.
Oh, I'm so sure you're right. Yeah. No doubt about it. What did you send me here? You send me more pictures? What is this?
Yeah, so Tone Wrecker sent us some album art for this episode.
He wants us to change the album art? Oh.
No, for the we had said last time that.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we did say that, didn't we?
Yeah, we would take some per episode album art. So he sent us some.
Okay,
it's very pretty.
Let me take a look at this. It didn't show up, and oh, I have to.
It's a collage.
And what is it? A JPEG?
It's a PNG.
Oh, that's weird. For some reason, it doesn't want to open it nicely for me. Let's see. This Windows, who the hell knows what Windows doing? There we go. Wow, it's taking up. How big is this file? I have nothing. It's not showing
it's not
me.
Not that big.
This is weird. Something's weird.
Huh. Okay. Well,
I have some Windows issue.
Let's see. Where's the original? I can get it for you. What happened to it? I'll send you the zip file that's got all of it in there.
Yeah, because it's sorry, Photos can't open this file. It's a format that's unsupported or corrupted.
Oh wow!
Yeah, something's okay. Wrong.
I'll send it to you after the show.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
It's very nice, though. It's very pretty.
Well, anyway, I'm very proud of what I'm seeing here. I mean, so we're looking at dailies of over a million sats, well over a million in some cases. I know the other metrics we have. We also have average payment size, which I think is also a nice one. I think that's actually maybe even a very important one.
Oh, you mean like how? What is the average boost or average stream?
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to break it out because boost versus streams, that's a difference. But I'll tell you, in most cases, I see more. Oh, that's a lot of artwork there. Yeah. In most cases, I see a larger amount of streaming sats versus the boostergrams. The streaming sats are not to be discounted. People are really using that in a very silent way. That's kind of crept up. It's gotten pretty big.
Let me tell you this. I forget about it. And I get so used to boosting to show that how much I love a show that I forget about the streaming sats. And then every now and then I'll be listening to a show for a while. And then my wallet will run out.
Yeah. And how did that happen? I didn't boost that much. I've had that happen too. Yeah.
And then I think, oh, wow, I actually sent quite a bit. So, and it makes me feel better because I'm like, oh, I don't have to remember. You know, I just know I'm always, by listening, I am supporting.
What's your default?
100.
No, my default's been 200 for a long time.
200 sats a minute. Mm-hmm. What does that come to about like for an app per hour?
I don't know. I just like the number. Yeah. I really don't know. When I run out, I just look over. Do I have some sats somewhere else? I'm sure I can fill up a wallet from somewhere. No, it just feels good. It feels like it's all kind of coming together. I really like it. And did Sam announce his Pod Fans thing? Did he announce?
I don't know. I was expecting it to be big news.
I was thinking something like that. Maybe
I thought it was going to be some big news, but I didn't hear anything about it.
I think he demoed it on stage with the Albie guys, but I'm not sure exactly if he released it yet. He may be waiting for podcast movement London or whatever. How many of these things are there?
I don't know. Pod Show London.
Yeah. From feedback, I can say that we are saving or creating lives daily as I continue to push back on the PUDs.
Remind me what PUD was.
Pod speeding use disorder.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
People who have been speeding up their podcast listening are now slowing it down and finding they're less anxious. Particularly that there's, who was it that sent me this? I think it was Chad F. I think it was Chad F. who said that he has ADHD. And then, when he thought that speeding up podcast actually helped his ADHD. And then when he slowed it down, he's like, oh, wow, this is actually better.
Yeah. You think it's like when you don't like put gas on the fire, I think that would make
you would think
PUD
so.
Is in the DSM-5. I think you're right, Eric PP. It's yeah.
PUD is in the DSM-5. It should be.
I think apps should on occasion just take randomly.
Maybe it was Dreb Scott, not Chad F. I'm sorry. I knew I was breaking some HIPAA violation there. It was Dreb Scott. Yeah, Dreb's listening. All right, Dreb, that's right. Sorry, yeah, Dreb. Didn't mean to give your disease to someone else.
Podcast app should just randomly slow it down. And basically do a lockout.
I had an urge during that meeting with Pocket Cast to say, hey, could you take off your speeding up? Because you're killing people. I really wanted to say something like that. I had to bite my tongue.
This is an epidemic.
It is.
It's a crisis.
I think it is a crisis. It really is. It's not healthy.
I want to, just while we're tangentially attached to the V for V stats here, I want to explain quickly, because I had a couple questions about it. Explain how we're doing this calculation, like what the 1% stuff is. Like, how can we know?
Oh, how are we able to make a chart?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what this chart is showing is our best guess as to how many sats are being paid in boosts and per streaming payments on a day, each day.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we can know that, and I say know in quotes, the way that we can know that is that we have the shim in place for the API, because so many hosting companies do not support adding a value block to your feed. So you can go either onboard through Fountain or Conshax or Satoshi Stream, or add it yourself manually at thepodcasterwallet.com, and you can get your value block into the API.
Mm-hmm.
So then, because that's such a needed thing, a lot of the apps will check the API if there's a value block for a feed.
Right.
If the value block's in the feed, and now this is important, if the value block is in the feed and the app sees it, they may not check us. So right. At that moment, in a situation like that, there's no 1%. So it could be that there are. So, well, before I go there, let me just go back to explaining what this is. So take that for what it is. Let's just say that we generally have sort of a 1% view of most of the transactions that are going on.
Right.
Each transaction, boost or streaming payment, has a TLV record, which is just which the content of this TLV is a JSON blob that has a bunch of properties in it. One of the properties is the original amount. And the reason that that's there, so like if I boost 2,112 Satoshis to Pod News, then my app will also put that number, that 2,112, it'll put that number in the JSON of the TLV record in a property called MSATs original amount, I think is the name of the property.
Yep.
And so it will put that in there so that once fees are taken out on the way to its destination, the receiving application like Conshax, Satoshi Stream, Helipad, whatever, Saturn, can know what the original amount was in order to preserve numerology.
Yeah, which was really important, which is why we get the 333s, the 6969s, the 1776, all that stuff. And that is magical that that was put in early.
And so the original amount is always listed in that JSON blob so that that is preserved. And therefore, we can know, even though we're only getting 1%, which a lot of times is not even 1%, it's just, it ends up being like one sat.
Yeah.
That we get because calculations are hard. And so we may only get one sat, but we can see that what was originally sent was 2,112 or
right.
A million or whatever this amount was. So we just run, I just have it export all the transactions out and add up. Do a sum on all of the original amounts, and that will tell us out of all the transactions we saw, what the total value of all of them put together was.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we see all of it, because it is 100% voluntary, even for people that use the API. That we have no way to enforce it, and we never will, and we don't want to. But and then there's also some apps that read the feed directly. And so they're under no even sort of ethical, obligation to do that. They're just doing it themselves. So that's what I mean when I put in the stats page that it could,
right.
It could be that the value is higher. Even it could be that it's much higher. And cause if there was one person using an app that boosted somebody and let's just say that at that moment our split failed, or let's say that their app did not send a split, or
then,
whatever.
Then we're not able to track that.
And what if it was 5 million sats? So we don't, in which we have gotten a 5 million sat boost before from PTAR.
Yes, we have.
So those things do happen. So it's very possible that this number is low. It's actually very likely that it's low. It could be very low, but we do know that it's at least this much. That's for sure. Because we're not getting, anytime we get a split, the value went, the mm-hmm. transaction took place. So mm-hmm. we know that it's at least this much. Anyway, and that may be painstaking to go through, but I think it's important for people to understand.
It only is fun if you now explain how all the splits work and how you then put those all together and then divide them. Let's go through that again. That was fun.
Okay, let's talk about what fees are.
I'm just kidding. Stop.
I'm kidding.
Will we eventually go to, or have you been, have you, do you have any thoughts on going to a show level and putting out a top receiving shows without disclosing the number, I would say, but just to show what shows have been boosted the most or are receiving the most payments?
Yeah, I think we can do lots of stuff. I mean, I think the most exciting ones to me initially are just like these raw aggregates, like how many total sats per day, how many total transactions, sats per listener, maybe sats per show in different tiers. And then like maybe later on we can look at we got to make sure at every step that it's highly anonymized.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it, man. I think this is very, very cool. I'm digging it. I really am digging it.
Eric, I will put it open source. It's just super simple. I mean, really, you could right click the page and view source on it and you're just seeing it all. There's really nothing there.
Yeah. So it's an indication that's what we're saying. Cause we really don't know what we're missing. We don't know what payments failed, all kinds of stuff. I mean, as always, it's a running with scissors estimate.
Nathan Gathright said we just played fee chicken to see who would back out first.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, speaking of Nathan, unless you got something you want to
go to. No, go ahead.
We need to talk about this, the update frequency.
Okay.
Are you aware of the update frequency?
I've seen the GitHub, what is it, recommendation, suggestion, issue, whatever it is. I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, so the update frequency, I'm trying to find his post where he links to his new tool here. Oh, there it is. Okay, so it's update-frequency.vercel.app, which just flies off the tongue, yeah.
Is
update-frequency.
Oh, dash frequency. Mm-hmm.
.vercel, V-E-R-C-E-L dot app.
What is this APP. Vercel app thing? Why are people using that? What does this thing do?
Mm-hmm. I guess it's some sort of like things like, kind of like, what was that? What was that old thing where you get Heroku? I think it's like a Heroku.
Oh, type. Okay. I got you.
Hosted node service, maybe.
Okay, cool. Got it. Yeah. All right. So now I see starting on 3/10/2023, repeating daily. And then what does it give me here?
Yeah. So I'll just read from his pull request. It says, in the spirit of taking platform-specific innovations and making them accessible to the open ecosystem of RSS, the intent of this proposal is to replicate the purpose of the update frequency field in Apple Podcasts Connect, as well as replace the iTunes Complete tag for podcasts that have no intention to release further episodes. So straight away, I like it because you're taking a tag off.
Two tags, right. Okay. Oh, I see what's going on here. So mm-hmm. it's basically giving me the code for this repeat or non-repeating frequency update.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put that into that tag, and then that tells apps when this updates, if it'll never update, etc.
Yep. And cool. So you have, let's see. It says, under certain conditions or naive algorithms, it can be inaccurate to know to predict future releases. And so he says, basically, there's a node. The tag is podcast:update frequency, and there's a node value The node value is a freeform string, which might be displayed alongside other information about the podcast. Please do not exceed 128 characters. And then your attributes are complete, which can is a Boolean that just says yes, you know, true, false, yes, no. DT start, the date or time that the recurrence rule begins. So if the rule contains a value for count, then this attribute is required. If the rule contains a value for until. So this just basically describes your release schedule. And I like it. I think it's fairly easy to parse. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be too hard.
This is mainly for who does this benefit, this tag?
It benefits aggregators, apps.
Okay.
Because if you know, well, complete is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, well, this show's never going
to... Don't have to poll it. Although, so it's kind of a crutch alongside with Podping?
It could be. Well, okay, so in relation to Podping, an app like a tag like this, I think there's an implicit recognition that everybody is still going to run aggregators to a certain degree. We do. We still aggregate.
Sure.
We have, there could be out, there could be downtime, there could be, you know, just all kinds of reasons. I think there's still going to be aggregation going on. So in that world, you have this tag, which is a more sort of a more descriptive way of doing it than what the Apple tag accomplishes.
Mm-hmm. It's good just to have that because we want a drop-in replacement for the Apple iTunes namespace anyway, correct?
Right.
That's been your vision.
Yeah, my vision is we're actually pretty well on our way to replicating. When I look at iTunes tags, you know, if you look in the podcast namespace, there's some tags in there like episode and season that are also iTunes tags. And my thinking from day one has been we should replace or replicate the iTunes tags,
mm-hmm,
so that eventually we can sort of do a direct drop-in replacement of the podcast namespace on top of the iTunes. And then and then from the feed publisher standpoint, you don't lose anything. You don't lose any functionality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically you swap. It's like Harrison Ford. It's like Indiana Jones. You just swap, you know, you take the treasure off and you put the sandbag on and you're good. So then if we drop that in, going down the list and saying for each tag, rather than just replicate what's already there, it sure would be nice. And I think it should be sort of required that in each instance, we only replace that tag, again, playing the long game here. We only replace that tag if we can come up with an idea that enhances it to some degree. So for season, we replaced season, but we also added the ability to have a named season. So we added an attribute to it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Which we basically did by request for NPR and they never picked it up.
Yes.
And now they're bankrupt. Okay. All right. Good.
great timing. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Well, Captivate just blew it wide open with all these tags. I mean, they just released the floodgate. Oh, they didn't.
And I love their whole explanation of like, hey, you know, this thing is ready to go. We're doing it. We're just casting everything aside. Screw it. And I think they, you know, probably Blueberry had something to do with that. You know, mm-hmm, you know what I'm really loving? Because I try to do the triage for podcast index support, which has increased significantly. But but I smile every single time I get something like this. Could you please remove my show from all platforms?
Yeah, that's great.
But that, no, yeah. it makes me happy because that means that we have brand awareness. People have, oh, Podcast Index. That's where all the stuff goes. That's where everyone gets it from, Podcast Index. They control all that, which we don't. But I like that people think we do. Because, it's important. And one day we will, of course, obviously, everyone will be pulling off either the index or off a copy of the index because no one has the inputs that we have, which, of course, is, you know, everything from the Swedish trickler to, just anyone showing up with something. We've got so many really cool inputs. Benjamin Bellamy has also been, you know, put a lot of the French stuff that's getting in there. So no one has that, especially the French. They don't even want to be on Apple for some reason. They're just like, it's just merde. I not do it. Goodbye, Apple. Apple pommes.
See, this happens in tech support with help desk stuff too. People will come down, users will come down to the help desk and say, "Hey," they're sort of looking around, looking over their shoulder, and they say, "Hey, I just want y'all to know that website I just went to." That was a total accident.
Right.
I didn't know it was going to be that. Yeah. And there's this implicit assumption that you're watching everything that they do. And that, like, but you're, of course you're not. I mean, there's like, you can't, there's too much volume. You can't see all this stuff.
Yeah, of course
not. But you never tell them that though. You always, the proper answer to that is it's okay this time. Just don't let it happen again.
I was amazed by, I think you might've sent me this. Or maybe I saw it from Marco posted the general guidelines for Apple apps and content.
The style guide or whatever?
Yeah. What do they call it here? Think inclusively, research words. So that this is, which is fine, by the way. I'm okay with, you know, whatever. I don't know if this is the guidelines means you have to do it or this is just what they recommend. But there's a lot of things like... don't describe technology using terms that are inherently violent, like kill or hang. It's like kill off a process. I got a process that's hanging. Don't use terms like master and slave. Well, that's been around for a long time, which describe an oppressive human relationship. But then, like, avoid idioms and colloquial expressions, common sayings like fall through the cracks, on the same page, backseat driver, can add flavor to writing, but can also be difficult to understand for people who are learning the language if your content is localized. So I see all these things. They're very, very concerned about everyone's feelings, about everyone's abilities. And to me, I just read this thing. We're like, how can you not be displaying transcripts? If this is your inclusive guideline, where are you? And I'm not talking about people who have disabilities. Of course, they're top of the list. And I am someone who actually had a hearing disability. It's improved by, you know, my dental procedure. So, but I lived for 5 years with hearing aids. But that is not the main thing. I get the most comments from people who are not native English speakers who say, I really enjoy having the transcript running along. So if I don't catch something, I can see it. Or I can kind of decipher the word, or I know how to spell the word. This is exactly what should be in this general guideline. Yet I don't see any transcripts in Apple's app.
I don't understand why you would encourage people not to use colloquialisms, because like when you're learning a second language, the thing that you want to know the most is the colloquialisms in the other language. You want, because that helps you sound native.
Well, transcripts can do just that, even if the app itself won't. So I'm just shaming people here.
Okay, no, I'm on board.
Apple on front.
I'm behind this move.
And now that we know that Pocket Cast is going to do it, who's going to want to be left behind now, huh?
Well, just don't say grandfathered in. That's not allowed.
Did I read that Spotify? Oh, I'm sure I read this. That Spotify was now supporting chapters, but not the... not the podcast namespace, but where it originally came from. Because it was from a different namespace, if I recall.
I don't know what... I didn't see that.
Do you remember when we first saw Chapters? That's why we incorporated it from the original namespace. It was a small namespace. And don't you remember?
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Podlove, the
Yes.
They support that?
I think so, yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I saw a report about it today. Let me see if I can find it. I'm so sure that I saw an article cross my desk today about that. Maybe someone
there's
else.
There's very few feeds that even have that.
Probably why Spotify supports it. What can we do that'll work for nobody? Oh, let's use this.
Yeah, well, Nathan just linked over to. By the way, Nathan, I just merged your pull request.
Oh, see,
during the show.
See, I told you. I knew I read this somewhere. Swiss.social. Okay, what do we have here?
Even though there are some issues, Spotify have finally implemented Podlove Simple Chapters after having them in their spec for years.
Hmm.
Weird. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. The Chapter Wars. Chapter Wars.
Yeah. Well, Spotify in general. I think doing a Hail Mary, but... Spotify for podcasters. They finally incorporated the albatross known as Anchor into their system. So we'll see if what they start to do with that. People seem excited. People who write blogs seem excited about it.
That's an odd move.
Why?
They support timestamp chapters in the show notes. They support Podlove chapters in the feed. Do they support any chapters that are actually, do they support MP3 chapters?
I have no idea.
They seem to be going about this in a very roundabout way.
Yeah. Well, I thought you odd. Meant a weird move was doing the Spotify for podcasters. I think that is the only move they had left.
And I wonder, man,
I wonder if there's going to be renewal of Rogan. I really wonder. Not from his side. I think he's enjoying it, but
they just can't afford him.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, Tina and I went to the opening of his comedy club in Austin.
I didn't know he was opening a comedy club.
Yeah. It's called Comedy Mothership. It's the old Ritz Theater. And it's beautiful. I mean, he's got 250 seats in the main room, and he's got, you know, like a green room and a private bar, and then a little small room, and of course, you know, he knows how to do VIP stuff. So we got the total blowjob all the way through. It was great. But what I saw was, and he's been performing every night. I saw a guy who was really enjoying himself, and I just wonder if you're on stage and you're not going to be home until midnight or one every night. And then the next day you're doing 1 or 2 3-hour interviews. I mean, at what point do you have to give one or the other up?
It's true.
You know?
So is he just bootstrapping this thing with himself and he's going to get bigger artists in and back off?
Oh, no. This is not a bootstrap. This is a success out of the gate. He's got shows sold out for months. Not even his own. Yeah, he had Roseanne Barr do a set. He had Tim Dillon, of course, as local boy. But he's got all kinds of. No, he's bringing the comedians in. A lot of the people who work there come from the Comedy Store kind of community, which closed in Los Angeles, which was Mitzi Shore, Pauly Shore's mom. She ran that, and so he even hired a lot of the staff that run that place.
Oh, so they just forklifted it out of L.A. and dropped it in Austin.
The staff, but a comedy club is a comedy club, but this is, you know, it's new, it's beautiful, and from what I can tell, it's just slamming.
Nice.
So this is no bootstrap. This is an out-of-the-gate success. It's pretty amazing.
I guess he'll back off at some point and
He's got to back off of something. I just think, you know, it's like, hey, I'm 58, I'm tired. Imagine he's
how old is Joe?
54, 55. It's only a few years behind. Only a few years behind.
I had written down, you know, about Anchor. I don't know what, you know, of course we knew they would kill the brand because the brand was terrible. But
But yeah, all the exclusive deals, you know, they're kind of slowing that down, if not shutting it down. It certainly wasn't successful the way, you know, they don't have the numbers to show for it. So maybe they're finally going to go for the recommended strategy is let everybody in, you know, cut them in on some ad money if you can sell it, which I don't think, you know, my experience is doesn't work because advertisers just don't want to advertise on podcasts that could not be brand safe. It's a very hard sell. I've been there, done that.
Well, the let's see, what I had something else. Wait, hang on, let me grab my sheet here. Oh yeah, channels. You want to talk about channels for a second?
Sure. This is one that I'm not so sure I agree with, the channels, and this is another namespace tag.
I would like to hear your idea of what you think channels is right now.
That's a good question. I think channels are a way to put a collection of podcasts for whatever reason into a single entity, or at least to be able to recognize that these podcasts belong to this channel. So that could be possibly like a network, like, okay, these are all the cool podcasts that are in my network, and maybe they would also put this channel into their feed, so you can have this kind of cross reference. Am I anywhere near the mark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're close. Yeah, that's pretty much what the intent is to say, have some facility to say these, let's just say five feeds actually all belong to the same entity.
You know,
group, person, whatever.
We've kind of slipped into something without officially, playing that.
And now it's time for some hot namespace.
Just want to make sure everyone knows why they're all turned on right now.
We just went right through the bead door.
I know.
And with
the bead door.
Yeah. With a left-handed cigarette and didn't even stop. So that's the idea, is that you would say, okay, these feeds all belong to either a person, a publisher, whatever. And there's, I think you could probably imagine various ways to do it. Now, you said you have a problem with it. Do you have a problem with the technical implementation or just the whole idea in general?
Not just the whole idea in general. I mean, I'm not quite sure how it differs from like a to me, it would be more like a recommendation than mm-hmm. a channel. A channel just reminds me of a YouTube channel. So I'm just irks me no matter what. Do I put a channel? These are all my podcasts. Now they'd be wildly different. The only thing is I produce them all. So there's maybe four podcasts. Is that what a channel is? Can I create a new feed, and just put a bunch of channels in there of people I just like that don't even agree to be in my channel?
You can, that would be more of a playlist where you are choosing a bunch of different content to put, to group together, sort of that's like a play. That would be the playlist. The channel is more of, this is all coming from the same producing entity.
And how is it different from the author tag?
Well, the author tag is not always accurate. It's limited. So for instance, it doesn't give enough granularity. So for instance, in this case, I think the author tag for No Agenda says Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak.
Yeah.
The author tag for this show would say something different. So you really can't associate the two.
It says Podcast Index LLC, I think.
Yeah. So there's really nothing in the feed that associates. And this happened. I mean, this definitely happens. So you have somebody who's like, I want to listen to all of the shows by this group, mm-hmm. even though all the shows in that group may have different authors, different, like I want to, you have these things that happen with this sort of, bastardization of the channel concept that has grown up over the years, where you have a monolithic feed, the all shows feed. You know this, where it's like so Jupiter Broadcasting will have
I know exactly what you're talking. Okay, in that case, yeah, all right.
This would replace that. But you're trying to avoid those kinds of sort of synthetic feeds that aren't real. And there's a few ways that we discussed doing it. You could have it be an external, something external, like a JSON file, where this JSON file is referenced by each of the feeds that are in the channel. And then if you follow the reference to the JSON and go get that JSON, you can then see a list of all that JSON basically is the channel. And it says, okay, these 5, 6, 10, 20 files, different feed URLs, these are all our channel. This is our channel.
Who created this proposal?
Kevin from Buzzsprout originally.
Okay.
He came up with the idea, and then we hashed out a few different ways to go on it.
What I would like is I'd like people to implement cross-app comments, and then I'll be happy with everything else we want to do. I'm worried that we get ahead and in the weeds, and everyone's excited about creating new tags, but the implementation is so far behind.
Well, the cross-app comments it's got a life of its own. It's progressing.
I'm very happy to see it on the website, but I'd love to be able to just respond in Podverse or anything. And am I right in seeing that Fountain doesn't show transcripts? Am I just missing where it is?
I don't know if they do or not.
Hmm.
I don't. That is a question I do not know the answer to.
Okay. So I don't know. I love all these tags, but I'm also very close to the implementation. I'm like, okay, when are we going to do certain things?
And, no, I got you. And I mean, we just got to do. I mean, we just have to wait for. This is the delay between the content gets made, and then we have to wait for the apps to catch up.
No, totally agree. I'm just worried that when we talk about this kind of stuff in the board meeting, we're all kind of focused in future, which is good because we want to always be innovating and driving forward. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. That's why I was interested in where this request come from. So does Buzzsprout have people requesting this? Do they have podcasters requesting this feature, and what can I compare it to? And then, you know, that's just for prioritization of where people want to implement stuff. And sometimes I think that shifts. And you know, cross-app comments we've been talking about since the inception of the project, almost. And right. We're so close.
Well, and it happens gradually then suddenly. Mm-hmm. I think because once, and I'm glad it's going slow, because we get to learn and see what's wrong as we go. Mm-hmm. Because we've got the spec. See, the cross-app comments is really not, it's not about the spec. The spec is dead. It's dead simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a URL.
Mm-hmm.
The spec is not the problem. The spec was so easy, and all of the problems come from implementation.
Right. And right. That's why I want to keep the focus coming back to it whenever I can, because the implementation seems to be stalled. Although not true in the past week or so with Nathan doing the stuff on podcastindex.org. to show the comments, but you still can't comment from there either.
Yeah, well, that's coming though, because that's they're working on that as well. It's Guillerme and Nathan and some other guys that are they're hashing out what the UI is supposed to look like. See, I think that once if we can get that working on, and I shouldn't say we because it's them, if they get it working, and I pushed to production the latest changes yesterday, I think. So it's up to date with what they've given me to put. If we can get that working, I think that can become a reference implementation.
On the website, on our website.
Yeah. And when you want to say, hey, go support cross-app comments, go to our website, look at the way it's implemented. And even though, you know, the UI part is not I mean, it's up to you, but here's how we expect this thing to function.
Got it. Got it.
That just takes some time to develop, you know. I mean, they have to work out those bugs because right now they're going back and forth about different things about like should this pop out? Should it be in page? A lot of implementation details, which you just have to kind of play with and throw things at the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. It's moving though. I mean, the reason I brought up the channels thing is because it's been out there for a long time. This proposal is probably 6 months old.
Mm.
And if not, maybe a little bit older. It originally came out because Apple brought out this feature called Channels, but it only works through Apple Podcast Connect.
Mm-hmm.
So you can define a channel and you can say, okay, these five shows are part of my channel.
Right.
And Kevin's, initial proposal was, hey, this seems like we can do this in an open source way that's not proprietary to Apple or Spotify.
Right.
So if we can replicate this open source, then we would all have this ability but it wouldn't be locked in.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, of course we always want to do that. I'm just trying to figure out who needs this. I have never thought about doing a channel, even Apple's. I mean, I gave up on Apple a long time ago. I don't know if I can get into Podcast Connect anymore. I don't know if I have an account.
When was the last time you logged into Apple Podcast Connect?
Years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I don't know if I can still get in at all. I mean, it's just there. And when I gave up my Mac, you know, it was when Mac started to screw up, the hardware was broken, basically USB hardware. And I gave it up and I went to Windows.
That's funny.
A lot of DJs, like, DJs who do, records, mixes, beats, etc. They all went to Windows because the Mac just was really, really sucking.
You said, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you said DJs, and that reminded me. So that was another use case. That's another use case for this, for the channels, is in order to have. So here's an. Let me find it. There's a DJ
for music. You mean?
Yeah, like there's a DJ that's buddies with Alex, and he popped into Wavelake, and he's been publishing his DJ mixes.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the way he's doing it, here it is, James Dietrichson. So the way his Wavelake feeds are Detox Music, DETO0X, and the way he's doing it is he's doing like a release. He's doing a release every week on Sundays, and each release is a new feed that has one track in it.
Interesting. So that would be so that would be appropriate for a channel.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a shitty name when it comes to music.
A music channel?
Yeah.
But that's the F. Well, I guess radios are stations, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's always the problem. Nomenclature is always going to be an issue. Mm-hmm.
Because what you name something is super important. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, as you know. And you should never, ever make it a 2.0 and at any point. Unless it's RSS, then you can do that.
Yeah, that's the only time it's allowable is if it's RSS 2.0. Everything else is bombastic.
It's detox with a line through the O. So if you search for detox, you don't get it.
Oh, that's not a zero? I thought it was a zero.
Oh, is that a zero? Let me try zero. Detox.
Maybe that's a Unicode character.
It is. And so when I search for detox with that zero, that line through it, which I don't have on my keyboard, I don't get any results.
Oh, James, you're blowing up my search.
Yeah. How do I get that funky
had to copy and paste it.
Now
I see it.
Yep.
Ooh, he's got some pretty album art. Gracious.
So let's talk about music for a second. Okay. Which we also pitched to Pocket Casts.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good you did that. I think I saw Matt go,
Everybody loves music.
Yeah. Yeah. And so where are we at with Dystopia and Wavelake? Are they now actually, are they submitting or are people just submitting individually still?
Dystopia is, Wavelake is not. And so we've got the Wavelength guys coming on for another attempt at being on the show.
Sorry, and, no one blames you for this, Dave.
Okay, thanks. Thank goodness. Okay, so in 3 weeks they will be back on the show, and we've got lots of music stuff to discuss with them and what they. I'll let them speak for themselves, but I think thumbnail sketch is that they really want the apps to be ready to have a good music experience.
Okay.
Before they start feeding everything into, before everything's an RSS feed already, but before they start really going public and trying to push it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so for my part, I went and downloaded a couple of albums into my podcast, into Castomatic.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the box, it's terrible. It's a terrible experience.
Of course. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Because the podcast app thinks these are episodes and you listen to it and the track disappears.
There was also someone who asked me, came into the info at podcastindex.org about how we ordered them, that there's a way to order the episodes in a certain way that comes through from Buzzsprout, but somehow it wasn't showing up correctly on Podcast Index. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's the serial versus episodic.
Yeah. Is that a tag? Is that a switch? What is that? How does that work?
Yeah, that's an iTunes tag that says, is this just a show that lasts forever and produces an episode on a schedule?
Right.
Or is this meant to be like different, like a single run thing where you really need to listen to it in order? One, two, three, four, five.
Right. Which would also be the way you'd want an album done.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Wow. There's so much to do. I don't even know how we get people to focus on adding music to their apps.
Well, I contacted Franco on podcastindex.social and just gave him like a hit list. I was like, hey, you know, if you had a music mode where, because he parses the feed in app.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since he parses the RSS directly, he'll be able to see that the music medium tag is there. And if he sees that, to me, it makes sense to go ahead and set a bunch of settings by default. Make it set it where there's it's forced to 1.x speed.
In fact, the speed up. Oh man, I have so many ideas now. No, it should go at 4x speed and say, Do you like this? Is that why you listen to podcasts? Do you like this? Is this what you really want? You crazy nut job.
it's like it's beating you. Oh, you want some more of this? You want this?
Wait, you like your podcast fast? How about this music? Ha ha ha!
How about 10x?
was it Podcast Addict that released 4x?
Yeah, podcast guru.
Podcast guru. That's crazy. And who requests that? I need to know.
It came through on my test flight and I posted it to Jason and he never responded. So I'm not sure. I hope I didn't hurt his feelings. I was just playing around. But if you had that where the app says, oh, here's a music podcast, I'm going to reshuffle myself and be like, bleep, 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 bleep. Right. And here, I'm going to play tracks in order. It's only going to be normal speed. And I'm going to take off like audio,
right,
weird audio enhancements, like voice boost and all this jazz. And then it goes back to sort of like this default music mode. To me, that would get us halfway there. Yeah, if not more.
Transcript becomes lyrics. All kinds of beautiful stuff. It can all be the thing is the content is now there. It's coming in. So all you have to do is if you're developing, look for the medium tag. Now, were you working on an endpoint for that, for the medium tag, or is that just the medium tag? Or there was a search, yeah, I think?
I think what I landed on was creating different different groupings within the endpoint. So now you have standard like API, on the API you have like /search/by term, and now there's a new one that's /music/search/ mm-hmm. by term.
So there's cool, right,
going to be subgroups for each medium type.
And here's what I'd say to you app developers, why I think there's a good reason for you to consider consider putting a music version, you know, putting some music UX into your app. If you think podcasters were waiting for something, you have no idea the amount of people who make music who already are halfway there with some of them even have RSS feeds, are doing enclosures already. There's now two hosting companies that add the Medium tag that we're aware of. Go look at the unhappiness of people who are on Spotify. Go look at the comparisons. They're all over the place. This is a huge, huge international group of content producers who will flock to you.
Yeah.
They will swarm you. I can guarantee it, but we just need some good examples. And I know a Music Side Project is a great start. But I think that's really the only one.
That is the only one. I would say that the potential market for music podcasting is huge because there's so many excellent music artists that just cannot rise to the level to have a living wage on a traditional streaming platform. It'll never happen. They know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But just like a mid-sized podcaster, if they could produce their content and make a few hundred dollars a month off of it, they would be so happy.
Of course.
And it can be more possible. Yeah.
Beats for Sats. Yeah. Tone Wrecker. Thank you.
Yeah. I've got an idea in my head for a cool music podcast app.
Okay.
Experience. And, I don't want to actually write it because we've always
no one wants you doing anything else.
Well,
we can't stretch you any thinner. No. Make more charts. Don't do an app.
Charts. It's because we've always promised we're not going to compete in those areas with people. But if nobody else does it,
uh-oh.
Don't make me do it, people.
You want to talk about your idea, or you just want
to
let it out there?
I do have an idea. Okay, I'll talk about it. The idea is this, and it's just kind of stupid simple.
It's GPT music.
It is not GPT music. It's even stupider than that.
Okay.
The idea is that you go to, what are we going to call this theoretical app?
Noster. I'm sorry, Monster.
Monster. That's already taken too.
Really? Okay.
Pod music. No, this is
stupid. Oh wow, that was lamest name ever.
No, I've got a good one. I've got a good earshot. Earshot.fm.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. Did you register that already?
I did not. It's still available, but it's too expensive. It's like $80. So you go to earshot.fm and you're just presented with just this sort of a swirling, like you're in a storm or a fog, just nothing there. All there is a prompt, just a blinking carrot prompt for you to type something.
Ooh, I like that.
And you type in, let's just say country or dance or something like that, and music just begins to play, and it just does a quick query into the music search endpoint and podcast index and just starts playing music. There's no fancy stuff. It's just a stupid dumb, but it's an example of podcast music delivery.
It sounds a bit like Pandora in a way.
Perhaps.
Man, yeah, earshot.fm is $100 a year now. That guy's making out.
The FM guy?
Yeah, the .fm. I think he's one of the biggest sponsors of the conference in Vegas. No
Those
wonder.
Cheap.
No wonder. $100.
Oh, does the FM guy, is he part of Podcast Movement?
Yeah, I saw sponsoring .fm. Hey, everybody, .fm. Get your .fm here.
That's
That's a lot of money.
.fm is like, the cheapest one I've ever seen is like $80.
Yeah. No, I just checked. It's $100 for earshot. And I love you, man, but I'm not buying that.
No, I'm not either. I don't even love me that much.
Well,
I think this is a huge,
yeah, that's
a huge fun thing.
Music discovery, and then of course you can save them and have a library and all that groovy stuff. Yeah, it makes nothing but sense. Makes nothing but sense. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a whole new separate app, but we'll treat it just like one of our own. No matter who comes up with anything, any music app, any other app that you consider, movie app, whatever, we'll consider it one of our own. We will adopt it right away.
I guess what I say is don't make Stephen B. do all the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Man's got a job.
Stephen B. is an amazing guy. He does so much. Let's thank a few people. People have been boosting us during the show. Let's see. I'll use Comics or Blogger as the delimiter. 1,000 sats from Bill Prague says, you want to use music in your podcast? Just add splits to music posted to the music tag.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we talked about the remote item being the way to do that. Was it remote item?
Maybe I don't understand what he's saying.
I don't think I understand it either. Just add splits
to music. Sounds like he's just saying put the music medium in there.
No. He said, just add splits to music posted to the music. He's asking a question. I'm not sure. Send us 10,000 sats with the phrase is better, Bill.
Yeah, we didn't quite understand.
I think if it's more sats, we'll understand it better. It's coming in through CurioCaster, of course. CurioCaster, great for the lit shows. 4321 from Tone Wrecker. Previous pod speeding penance. I slowed it back to 1x speed. All right.
Woo.
Another life saved or created. Bill Prague again, 5,000 sats. Kind regards to Zap Noster Maxis. Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I don't know.
Bill's drunk.
But he's not drunk boosting properly. It should be more. Let's see. We have, hey, citizen, 6969. Brian of London, he says, renegotiate the car podcast listening rules. I don't know what people are talking about today.
I don't know what any of this means.
I don't either. Chad F, 33,333. Adam, can we get the origin story of Big Baller? People see it in Fountain, but don't know where it came from. Oh, I know. Of course, this came from MoFax. MoFax and Mo gave it to me. It started off by whenever we got a big donation, value for value.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And then I asked him if we could use it on Podcasting 2.0. And, of course, he said, yeah. And then other people took it. And I said, hey, man, I told him, I said, it's gone. You know, it has a life of its own. He's just happy. He's happy with that. So that's the origin of it. Boobery, 17,776. Please allow in the next series of tags for streamable payments of Dr. Pepper. I'm there, baby. Thank you. Okay. Here's Brian. I see. It was a follow up. We need a way to connect the Boostergram to a Boostergram. What Bill Prague was saying, was it Bill? No, Tone Wrecker was, no, who was it? Hey, Brian? Citizen. Hey, citizen, renegotiate the... Okay, here we go. This is the original from Brian of London. With 51,948 sats. Thank you very much, Sir Brian. My wife will only let me listen to the show in the car when Adam is spinning 80s tracks and nostalgia.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's just not going to happen because that's a huge violation of rights. And I didn't like that myself, but once in a while, you just got to break the law, you know?
Pirate radio.
Or just replace your wife. How about that? That's maybe a better idea.
Easier.
Much easier than get me to do that again. Hey, citizen, again, 6969 sending Satoshi value for value payment, crypto transaction, call it whatever you like. Yes, we will. Fletcher, 88,888. Oh, the lucky eight, Satoshi. Whoa. Slam, he says. What does he have here? He has a URL with this. Let's see what Satoshi Slam is.
Satoshi Slam.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll take that one. Let me save that one right away. So is that's the number for Satoshi Slam is 88,888.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Okay, Fletcher. Nice. Let me say, I just want to save this one so we have that for prosperity. That is cool. Let me hear that again.
Satoshi slap.
Nice. Oh, that's good. That's really sweet. Good. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. 33,333 from Dreb Scott, formerly with ADHD, no longer, thanks to his anti-PUD move. He says
he's cured.
He says, DJ Adam, can you please play me some more Stevie? No. No, we can't do that.
Not having it.
Eric PP, 33,333, just says boost.
Boost.
Then we have Macintosh. 2100 sats. Sorry, Dave. I looked at the front end code for newpodcastapps.com and I just can't update it. I don't know React from whatever other front end and frameworks are out there. My front end work ended with blinking GIFs in HTML in 2001. Dude, remember redball.gif? I had that one. Yeah. I thought it was something I could help you out with. So all you React front end people, get on it and make a pull request.
No problem. I don't know React either. So I feel you. Not a problem.
Anyway, at one point, I even wanted to change something. I can't remember what it was. I wanted to add a link, and I went into the GitHub, and I'm like, I don't understand. This is not Drupal.
Drupal.
Headless Drupal.
When you look at React for the first time, it's complete insanity. It's some bastardized version of JavaScript that's with HTML inline embedded with it. It's your head spins.
Yes, because I wanted to put a link to valueforvalue.info. Like, that might be helpful. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to add a link. I'm sure I can jack that in somewhere. If at least I can see code that looks like a page, but no.
Yeah, good
no.
luck.
Yeah, no idea. Martin Lindeskog, Adam and Dave, thanks for podcasting 2.0 certified t-shirt. Liberty Boost.
Oh,
1776 Satoshis. All the best. Hey, did we neglect Chad's t-shirt? I think, do we owe Chad F a t-shirt?
I think I sent it.
Oh, you did? Chad, let us know if you got it. Because I had a note here. I don't, just a note. A note, a note.
Pretty sure that's sent that.
Todd Cochran checking in from Podcast Movement Evolutions. 25,000 sats. Lots of great podcasting 2.0 conversations here at PM Evolutions. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
Yeah, man. I love that Todd's there. You know, yes, if Todd's there, Chad's, he's pushing shirt. It.
On February 28th, so it should be good.
Oh, excellent. Whoa-ho! Bring it on to the show. Boobery of Behind the Schemes and Sir Spencer of Bowl After Bowl, the gutter punk innovators of 2.0, worth chatting with them in the boardroom, says Lavish, with a 100,000 sat boost.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
It would so be.
They want to see the chart go up tomorrow. Is what's happening. This is all about playing the
chart. Oh, this chart is going to be great. But of course, if you don't change it, then it'll be down again tomorrow. You know what it is? If you walk past a watch store, and maybe this isn't that way. I think the way it typically is, all the watches are set to 10:10, 10 minutes after what? 10, because that looks like a happy face.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this chart, the minute you go to it, you're like, oh, these guys are in trouble.
This is like, it's like SVB's stock.
Yes, it does. It does look like this is bad. Oh, this is not going well. I don't want to promote it until we have a happy uptick.
It's like they were doing great until their Lehman Brothers moment right there at the end.
We definitely need to have some, you know, I'm not a big fan of multiple people in the boardroom, just because it's just tough. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to have one or someone on to discuss the gutter punk innovators of what's happening with the IRC bots. I mean, there's some really interesting stuff in there.
We should let's do it.
Let's do that. Okay. And then I hit the delimiter. So do you want to thank our fiat? Meanwhile, I'll go take a look and make sure we haven't missed any tally coin that no one ever. The only person ever does tally coin is Dreb.
Dreb,
but we love it. We love it for sure.
He just does it as an old check to make sure the car's running all right.
Yeah.
Chad F 33333 through Podverse. He says, I think the best part of the dance party board meeting yesterday was have people compete complete each other's song request donation amounts. Something about that just felt magical.
It was. And it showed me that there's so much we can do with lit, which is another thing that we, you know, needs more promotion. What a fantastic format. What a great way as a podcaster to up your game, you know, to involve your community right live in real time and to make money. I mean, it really showed that the community rallies around you and they come up with their own games. I love that. It was great. And thank you.
Let me ask you, is OP3 measuring the live stream also? Do you have the OP3 prefix in front of the live stream URL?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me take a look.
Because I would love to know which apps are using it the most.
I do, actually.
Okay, so we should be able to look and see if Podverse, Podcast Addict, CurioCaster, I'd love to see a breakdown of that. And also to monitor if any new apps come online, because I know there's one that's supposed to be coming on.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, op3.dev, and I've listened at noagendastream.com/noagenda. So it does point to the stream. But John Spurlock is in Vegas getting drunk with everybody. So he's not listening. It'll take a while.
That's true. let's see. We need you back in Dallas, John. Lyceum 2112 through Fountain. He says, this is a replay of yesterday's Liberty Boost regarding the song 55 Million Frenchmen, 1927. And Benjamin Bellamy's post, music tip. HappyMusicRadio.com, Radio Dismuke, vintage popular music and jazz from 1925 to 35. Rush 2112 album boost, Martin Lindskog. Thank you, Martin. Piet Pauling, A Satchel of Richards, through Podverse, he says, pre-show boost, Weltrusten.
Oh, Weltrusten. Very good. That means good night, sleep tight.
Weltrusten. Yeah, I sound too German that way. Dreb Scott. 55555 through Podverse. He says pre-boosting.
Wow.
Let's see. Wow, these are, so since last week's show was a little messy, some of these are coming in, you know, like these are like pre-boosts from the show before because it was mixed up.
Are you doing the pre-boost or the proofs after? It's probably doubling some of them. Wait a minute, because we did a show after that. I don't know. Thank everybody. It doesn't matter. Thank everybody.
Chad F3333 says, can someone unlock the door to the boardroom? I can't get into the chat room.
Sorry. No, it's locked now.
Dreb Scott, 5555, boosting Dave's poll work. I do good poll work.
You're great on the poll.
Chris, you know, 9013 through Podverse, he says, you can't just go out there and do poll work whenever you want. You first have to call up and put in a poll request.
Poll request. Love it.
Chad F, 3333 again, and another Chad F, and he says, hey, I only requested Ride the Lightning after someone requested Milkshake.
Yes.
Drea, Milkshake. Not a great song.
Yeah. It got a little weird. I told you, it's like when you take requests, then the flow kind of gets broken somewhere along the line.
Dreb Scott 5555 says, Adam was really having fun yesterday. It was great to witness. Yeah, this is what it was, because we didn't read the boosts on the Saturday show so that we could do them in order from this, like the post-show boosts. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Eric PP sent us 33333 with no note through the Boost CLI. Thank you, Eric.
Thank
PP.
You very much.
No note on that. Phoneboy 6969 never thought I'd be the lead in to the Podfather on a Saturday. Lots of love from Phoenix and I at the Lotus Effect for everything y'all are doing to advance podcasting.
Oh, that's right. So we broke into their feed because we typically use No Agenda Stream on Fridays. And so they were kind enough to give it up for us on Saturday, which we appreciate.
Yep, we got another from Phoenix 6969. Thank you to the Podfather for all y'all are doing. Lady Phoenix and Lord Phoneboy of the Lotus Effect. Come for the shenanigans, stay for the party.
Nice.
Did we read
read those two. I remember those two.
We did? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, maybe I need to skip past.
Well, while you're checking that, Dreb Scott came in with a 1-2-1-2-1-2, 1-2-1-2-1-2.
Whoa.
That's 121,212. Sorry, forgot to test the tally coin. Really, Jeb, we're just kidding. Out of curiosity. Hold on a second.
Baller. Shot caller. 20 inch blaze. On the Impala.
I just have this fear that Dreb Scott is spending all of his inheritance or, you know, it's like, and he's going to be out on the street, you know, with no money, you know, with a cup.
His wife's going to come in one day and say, "What is this?"
I want to make sure, man, that I love you, Dreb, man, but you are supporting a lot of podcasts with a lot of dough. So just to make sure, okay. Anyway, he says, out of curiosity, what kind of licensing and costs would be involved with doing a music show like you did Friday? Which to me is Dreb saying, "Hey, I'll pay for that." No, just so you know, that is actually not possible. You cannot do that unless the only way you can get around it is if you have an existing radio station with an actual radio signal. There are rules where you can duplicate that signal. But just as a stream, you cannot do a DJ show like I did on a stream, certainly not on a downloadable podcast. The music industry are such greedy fucks, they don't make that available to us. Otherwise, believe me, I would be doing it 5 days a week.
You've explained that to me before, and basically there is no, they will not give you a license to do that.
No,
right.
No. You see what Spotify has to go through. You can add music to your show, but don't you dare talk over it. No. You have to stop and then they start the music and it has to play and fade out all the way. It's horrible. And Bill Prague says, F you, I'm in Serbia. 10K sats is like three beers over here. So he gives us 1,000. I got you, brother. I got you.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to spend three beers to explain myself any further.
Brian of London, 1948 is Israeli freedom boost. Next up, Breaking the Law by Judas Priest. Oh, brother. I just can't get away from it. Nathan Gathright, 2,000 sats. Got to listen at 0.5 times for a while to bring my average back down. Just want you to be healthy, brother. Just want you to be healthy. All right, that's what just came in the past
Nathan's
couple of
a fast thinker. I can imagine that would be very, because you can tell by the way he talks that his mind goes fast.
Yep.
So I bet you he has to I bet you he has to resist the urge to pod speed.
Yeah, but he normal people around him don't speed.
He goes to the Starbucks, like, give me that coffee.
Yes, exactly.
See Brooklyn, 112, Satchel Richards. No zaps, no tips, only boosts.
Nah, it's okay. We're not anti-zap at all. Not anti-zap.
No.
I'd love it. It's training people for boostograms.
After Dave Weiner's hate that was spewed Mastodon.
Who was posting this?
No, he... he had a big long anti 2.0 post.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, I did see that. Yes, what about it?
All of which was so ill informed as to be hilarious, but this had an effect on me. I thought to myself, you need to be more open about these other technologies. Don't be so negative all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And I'm glad because I was the one that told you, man, you should try Nostr. See what's going on there.
Am I going to go out and build something on Nostr? No. But I'm not. I'm going to limit my mockery of Nostr.
Well, I think this is something very different went on there. And I'll just say it sounds because it was very inflammatory what he posted. Podcast wars. I'm like, podcast wars. I'm like, what is he talking about? And I really didn't understand at all what is like, there's two groups. It'll soon be in a tech tabloid coming to you soon. Like, what is going on with this?
I read it and had no clue what he was talking about. He sounded deranged.
Yeah.
And
I think I know what happened. I'm just taking a stab here. I could be wrong. I have a feeling that someone approached him about the podcast standards project, which was going to be different from podcasting 2.0, which is not. I mean, it's basically taking tags that we develop and use it. And somehow Curry's involved with one of those two. Which one is it? That's the shitty one. Because that's what most people do. It's like, oh, is Curry involved? That's got to be shit. No, it can't be that. He's probably trying to steal podcasting. He wants to be a billionaire. Ugh. So, but I think James explained it very well to him. And then I saw Dave saying, oh, okay, well, I don't see a corrective post saying sorry, but yeah, okay, whatever. So I think that's what happened. And that, and it's unfortunate because these things always happen around podcasting. There's always all kinds of intrigue and crap going on. And I thought we'd kind of gotten beyond that.
Well, they always happen around podcasting, but they also always happen around Dave Wanner. So there's that too.
There's that. Yeah, there's that. Anyway.
Let's see. Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, 2222 through Fountain. He says, as you were playing the demo, I was waiting for it to switch from the robo lady to get to the real AI DJ. But about halfway through, I realized she was it. Yeesh. Oh, yeah. He's been pod speeding.
Yeah.
And his brain is unable to tell the difference between reality and fiction.
This is exactly what happens.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you, Kyron. I loved you when you were with us still. But now your brain is gone. Nicholas B58, 2100 sats. He says, through Fountain, he says, I'm testing. Well, Nicholas, your test was successful.
Test successful. Well done.
Carl 6007 gave us 2222 sats through Fountain. No note. Clarkian, my buddy, gave us 25,001 sats. Says weekly boost. Can't make a long note because Fountain keeps crashing every 2 minutes. Shh. Hopefully it'll be fixed by next week. Gene Bean, 1337. Says through Castmatic, says podsearch.fm is available and would be fitting for the transcript search tool. That's true. Somebody grab it. Podsearch.fm. That's a pretty good name. It's probably cost $3,000, but you need to get it. Nick Dose, 369 SAS, boosters versus zappers. Fight. No, we're not going to fight those guys. We have too much firepower. They wouldn't stand a chance. Gene Bean, big row of ducks, 22222 through Castomatic, says, just wanted to give Oscar and the folks at Fountain a shout out for their podcast promotion system. It was super easy to promote volunteer technologists and provided nice metrics about what I was getting for my money. It's also been fascinating to look at the statistics in Buzzsprout and OP3 related to where people are because the non-US audience is much larger percentage than I had anticipated.
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting. Oh, Bill Prague, he of the expensive beers, says, get Sinus 9712. He says, boost for being human and not an AI podcast.
There you go. Yes, we're not GPT.
That's a low bar. And you just encountered Maxis within Maxis. That is how we normal people feel every time we say Bitcoin is not best for everything.
Okay.
Bill Prague again, 10,000 sats. Wow, had to convert some more Hive into sats to boost again. Maxi's encounter deserves it. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what we said, but.
But it was good.
I don't remember. Yeah, it was awesome. It
doesn't matter if we make someone mad or happy, as long as they're boosting, it's all good.
Alberto, 999 sats through Fountain, and he says, it's here.
Okay. It's here. It's finally here. Is that albertorss.com? Maybe about transcripts. Maybe that was the big. It's here.
Ooh,
it's
maybe here. So.
Yes. It's a mysterious teaser boost.
I bet that's what it was. Big announcement from them, by the way. That was
I think that's fantastic. The fact that they have multiple languages out of the box is great too.
And I love that they're doing it like sort of in-house and not a third party. I think that tells me that probably transcripts is cheap enough now to where the industry can do this.
Yes.
And it's gotten affordable. So that's a good thing to see.
And those guys are just killing it no matter what. I really appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah, me too. Clarkian again with 1,000 sats. He says, update. Oscar helped me fit the Fountain issue like a boss. Back up and running. Thank you, Oscar. We get a play-by-play on tech support here from Fountain. 12,000 sats from I Am Robot through Fountain. He says, dropping off some climate change for the index so Dave can keep the lights on 5x5 in the pipe. Go podcasting.
There am I.
Go podcasting! You
made me laugh. I think it's Mr. Robot, I think. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Acelsi, 12498. Through Fountain, he says, the Sage's dictation speed is less like a tortoise and more like a New Yorker, 1.25x. The fact that he can get jitty sets him apart from the AI, boosting the NI natural.
Nice.
Okay. Cass Peelan, 3690, says, thank you for your work. You're welcome, Cass.
You're very welcome. We're happy to do that for you.
Just listening, 1776 Boost says, I need info on how to create ISOs, the little audio clips. I can't find anything anywhere. Well, I don't know. Just I use DLC, YouTube DLC to download stuff off YouTube and clip it that way.
That's I record, actually I process everything I record. So I'll output it straight from the output of the computer into Hindenburg. By the way, I was wrong about Hindenburg. That 10 hours of transcript time, that's only 10 hours at a time. It's not like they're charging you or like it's a bank where you have to redeposit time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Still takes it takes a long time on this computer though. This computer is not.
Have you started doing it local? You're not doing it through Otter anymore?
Here's the thing. I did the podcasting 2.0 and there's no way to output it. There's no export of the transcript. It's a transcript so that you can edit based on the transcript, and which works really well. It's kind of like Descript, I guess. It's impressive how that works, but there's no way to export an SRT or TTV or LMNOP or any of that stuff. I couldn't even select all copy it. I'm like, okay, all right, well.
Oh, that's weird.
No, that just it's beta. It's beta. It's a beta. It's a beta.
Karen from Emerald is back again, 2222 through Fountain. He says, hey, Adam.
Yes.
A recent guest of mine was talking about how other graphic designers would get mad at him for doing a V4V type model when he was first starting to design as a freelancer. Have you ever had other podcasters mad at you for ruining it for the rest of us, i.e. putting your product out for free?
No, I think most people think we're stupid and it doesn't work and it's crazy. And why would you do that? Why do you want tips? Now, I've heard anything except anyone who's actually done the work and looked at what we're doing. So no one's ever gotten mad that I know of.
We got a 6666 from the socialist, satanic socialist down under.
Oh, great.
Love the show, but please lay off Beelzebub. Satan gets blamed for a lot of bad stuff, but even he would not stoop so low as to use dynamic ad insertion.
is that the actual Satan guy who does the podcast?
I think it is. Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey, wait.
This is Beelzebub telling you to boost more.
Satan, would you ever use dynamic ad insertion?
Never.
Well, there you go. That's definitive.
Except on Sundays.
That's definitive.
There you go. Don't use it. Don't do it, people. Save yourself.
Borlaug, 20,021 sats. Nice. No note.
Thank you, Borlaug. Thank you. Appreciate it.
But then Borlaug comes back with 20,023 sats, and there is a note.
Okay.
He says, these two boosts are twin primes, just like the two of you. Thanks for what you have done with this project. Well, thank you.
No. Gracias.
Very appreciative. Wait, who is this? Is this Lavish? Lavish, did you get this 100,000 boost from Lavish?
I don't recall anything from Lavish. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, you did. The Gutter Punk Innovators. Yes,
yes, okay,
we got this.
I'm caught up now. Okay, well, now we got a couple more boosts just came in. C-Dubs, 10101, 10,101. Thank you very much. And Striper Boost, 7,777 from Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster. He says, hey, guys, just checking in from LifeSpring Media Central. Go podcasting.
Baller. Go podcasting.
That's the one I wanted to hit. Steve Webb, I saw him in the top 10 on Fountain with his life. I think it's which one was it? He's doing
through the Bible, the one that goes all the way through them.
Yeah, for every single day. Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Striper Boost, turns out I interviewed Striper on MTV, and there's like a video of. Did you see that?
Did I send that? You post that the guy with the broken foot or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, holy crap! I can't believe that. If only they knew that they had become a boost number. they would be pleased, I'm sure.
I like that Steve came in with a Striper boost to offset that Satan boost.
There you go. That's exactly how it works. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. We needed that, Steve. Thanks. Good.
Yeah. Balance is restored.
Perfect timing. Yes. The world is good again. Whew.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Yeah. What does he say now?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He says, listening in fiat speed. Nice. I like it. I like it.
I'll take it.
Thank you, Roy. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 33015 through Fountain. He says, delicious Dave and appetizing Adam.
Oh, goodness.
Once a fortnight, start your day right with a nutritious helping of the AI.cooking podcast, a 2.0 compliant, V4V certified show where the deliciously nimble-tongued Goof, a.k.a. Gregory Foreman, the once and future King of Kent, a.k.a. the Cock, delivers tasty...
It means something different in Britain.
Delivers tasty morsel after morsel of news items about artificial intelligence because complexity and brevity are handsome bedfellows. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, CSB, for always supporting every single show I have ever heard in my life. And I hope it's working. It's probably the longest running promotion that has been going on for podcasts is what he is doing for AI.cooking.
We need to start marketing this, you know, like Todd does for GoDaddy, the longest running continuous podcast sponsor. Yes. CSB, the longest running continuous booster.
Yep, that's right. And in consistent. Podcasting. And consistent. And he'll boost again. If he misses a split, he'll complain and make it fixed.
he'll bitch about it and then do it again. Yeah,
I never have to worry if my umbrella's down because Comic Strip Blogger will let me know. You know, I don't need to run any service that checks that. Just CSB. He'll take care of it.
He's like pager duty or whatever.
He has paid. Remember that pager duty? I had pager duty. Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, we got some.
We got some monthlies?
Yeah, okay. We got some monthlies. All right. Sorry for the long donation segment, but we had that mix up last week. So we gotta do them all. Let's see. Cameron Rose, $25. Joseph Maraca, $5. William Ang, $5. Jeremy New, $5. Podverse LLC, $50. Thank you, Mitch. Ooh, Mitch, Lauren thanks. Ball, $24.20. Basil Phillip, $25. Mitch Downey of Podverse, $10. Oh, and Christopher Harabarek. $10.
Thank you all. Guys. Yeah. Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. It's the only way that it can be supported, the only way that it will continue its existence. And that is through supporting the podcast and, of course, supporting everything that we do at podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social. Do you ever have a chance to make a calculation about what it would cost to upgrade the gear to do full indexing of episode notes, et cetera?
No. I mean, we're going to have to upgrade the database instance.
Mm-hmm. Again, didn't we just do that about a couple months ago?
No, I was able to put it off.
Okay.
Yeah. I stretched our budget. So I was able to make that happen, but
budget I've not stretcher.
Done any, honestly, I just don't even know. I mean, indexing 110 million episodes of full 4,000 characters of each description.
It'd only be 4,000. We can't index PDFs and other stuff people throw in there.
We can't.
No. Oh, that's too bad. I like that.
It's shocking. I know it's shocking.
Shock. It's a real shocker. Oh, no. We call that a
bombshell.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I don't know how much it would be. I don't know that it's necessary.
No, we get requests. And so all I do is just say, hey, is it possible? Can we do it? No. Okay. Well, it's fine.
I hope people are using the new people search because I think it's rad. I spent some time on it. Couple of weeks ago, and it's pretty good.
Now
it's pretty darn good.
Did Pocket Cast? They're working on their search. Are they going to? Because they were also going to integrate people, right? Did I hear them say that? So will they use our people at the person search? Time. Will?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what. I guess they're doing their own search since they spend so much time on it.
They could just use an API. But okay, go rebuild the wagon there. Let me see. So if I do Adam Curry. It'll just pop it up. Let me see. Oh, nice.
Are you using ours?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That works really well and fast.
Everything I do is fast, brother.
Yeah. Adam Curry payload. What is this?
What? What do you mean payload?
It says Adam Curry payload. Adam Curry's RSS enclosure test channel. Where is this from? Let me see.
What feed does it say that it?
Oh, this is from a radio weblogs feed. This can't be active anymore, can it? Let's see if it plays anything. Does it play anything? No. Operation Iraqi Convertible, Journey to Mars. Are they crooked? What is this stuff? This is great. None of it works. But it's great. Oh, we should, I'll tag this to be nuked. Where'd that even come from?
I would love, what's the feed number? What's the feed ID?
460-5475. So that's pretty new.
5475. Something Christopher Ising dug up out of the ether.
clearly. Gary Leland.
Adam Curry's RSS enclosure test feed.
Adam Curry free culture. Adam Curry daily audio Bible.
Adam, listen to this. If you click through to the RSS feed,
yeah,
this goes to cyber.harvard.edu/rss/examples/rssenclosuresexample.xml.
Holy moly.
Wow, this is old. This is the last build date, Sunday, 27th of June, 2004.
Yeah. What's it to you, bro?
Generator radio user land V8.0.
I told you. That's interesting. So they republished some feeds over there.
Well, I think it's probably always been there forever. I bet you this is just something nobody even knows is there anymore.
Like so many aspects of my life.
I'm not killing this feed out of the index. This is history, brother.
All right, everybody. That'll conclude our broadcast day. $2.10. Wow. We're really stretching it out these days.
Oh, geez.
We need to get some guests on so we hurry it up. Whenever we have guests, it's much shorter.
We've got Tom Rossi from Buzzsprout next week.
We're going to talk about
subscriptions.
I'm going to ask him about this podcast standard project.
Yeah. Yep. And we'll
clearly he's behind it. Clearly he's behind.
We're probably gonna ask him back. He's like, "What?
What podcast? What?" All right, brother Dave. Thank you. I know this is really crazy times for you with your work, with tax coming up. And, you know, does that all end on the 16th? And then all of a sudden, you just get to let out a big sigh.
Yes. I think it may be the 17th this year.
That's right. The 16th is the final date. Yeah.
Yep, I'm home with it. Actually, my daughter is sick today, so I'm working.
Is she going to be okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She's running a fever, just some little fever virus.
It's no, not, just doesn't want to go to school. Bad. I got it. I know how you do that. You dip the thermometer in some hot water, like, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
We all did it.
Uh-oh.
All right, chat room, thank you very much. Thank you to all the boosters who came in and support us. We really appreciate it. This has been the Podcasting 2.0 board meeting. We return next week with another invigorating board meeting. Join us, won't you, for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Satoshi Slam!